Part 1. Chapter 14. Gateway. The impact of color has been studied for decades. For example, in a factory, the temperature was maintained at 72 degrees Fahrenheit and the walls were painted a cool blue-green. The employees complained of the cold. The temperature was maintained at the same level, but the walls were painted a warm coral. The employees stopped complaining about the temperature and reported they were quite comfortable. The psychological effects of warm and cool hues seem to be used effectively by the coaches of the Notre Dame football team. The locker rooms used for halftime breaks were reportedly painted to take advantage of the emotional impact of certain hues. The home team room was painted a bright red, which kept team members excited or even angered. The visiting team room was painted a blue-green, which had a calming effect on the team members. The success of this application of color can be noted in the records set by Notre Dame football teams. Exercise 1. As people began to settle in one place, instead of ranging over wide areas in search of food, they began to realize that in order to have food year-round, methods of storing food had to be developed. One of the first methods was the storage of fruit juice, such as grape juice. They noticed that as the juice began to spoil, a change occurred in the juice. This process later became known as fermentation. They discovered that if the fermentation process could be halted at the correct time, the juice could be stored in a usable state. This was the beginning of the wine industry. As with the processing of cheese, new methods born from these discoveries led to newer and better products. Exercise 2. Psychologist Benjamin Bloom found that the first steps toward high achievement begin when parents expose their children to music, swimming, scientific ideas, and so forth, just for fun. At first, many of the children had very ordinary skills. One Olympic swimmer, for instance, remembers repeatedly losing races as a 10-year-old. At some point, however, the children began to actively cultivate their abilities. Before long, parents noticed the child's rapid progress and found an expert instructor or coach. After more successes, the young people began living for their talent and practiced many hours daily. This continued for many years before they reached truly outstanding heights of achievement. Exercise 3. Many things motivate human beings. The need for food, the need for shelter, the need to eat ice cream while watching late-night television. Obviously, some needs are more fundamental than others. After primary needs such as food and shelter are satisfied, the need to belong is among the strongest of human motivations. People go to extraordinary lengths to connect with others, be liked by others, and belong to groups. These needs might have arisen from evolutionary pressures. Our ancestors who were excluded from social groups often died because they found it difficult to hunt, gather, and defend themselves against predators with only an army of one. In addition, people excluded from groups were, almost by definition, unlikely to reproduce themselves. Thus, the solitary hunters were, most likely, no one's ancestors, even if they did manage to live out a normal lifespan. Exercise 4. A perceptually subjective view gives the audience a closer awareness of what a character is experiencing. Filmmakers may use this technique if they want the audience to feel a stronger sense of connection with a character. For example, in Joel and Ethan Coen's gangster drama, Miller's Crossing, creative editing makes the audience experience the sudden disorientation of being knocked out and then waking up in a confused state. The entire screen goes black as the lead character, Tom Reagan, is knocked unconscious, so that the audience is effectively blacked out as well. The rest of the scene is not shown until Tom comes around. The audience, therefore, has a degree of perceptual subjectivity in this scene because it sees only what Tom sees and not the events that occur while he is unconscious. Exercise 5. Let's move on to the concept of how we create our own reality. A good example is exam tension. This is a very common stress that has a clear cause. Mild tension or anxiety is normal during an exam. It helps students improve their focus and pace. But when this stress is severe, students may experience negative thoughts or beliefs such as, "I will fail," or "I can't remember anything." These thoughts can often create physical symptoms such as fear, sleep loss, lack of appetite, nausea, restlessness, frequent urination, headaches, aggression, irritability, and dizziness. This can in turn have a severe impact on performance. For some, the fear will become real, and they will indeed fail the exam and thus confirm their negative beliefs. In other words, fear can create precisely what we don't want. Exercise 6. I've probably spent months of my life exploring beaches and tide pools, but there is always something new. One day, I heard a low-level, constant scraping noise. I looked around. No one else on the beach, no birds or large animals in sight. What could it be? It sounded like it was coming from the rocks, so I looked closer. Eventually, I noticed that the barnacles themselves were moving. They were stuck to the rock, so they couldn't actually go anywhere, but hundreds of them were rotating in circles inside their shells. They appeared to be scraping the insides of their shells. I don't know why, perhaps to clean them or to make them bigger, but amazingly, the sound came from their scraping. Exercise 7. We often think of science as exploration and experiment. Classrooms that represent only this view of science, however, fail to catch an essential feature of science: evidence-based explanation. When scientists encounter patterns in the world, they construct theories to explain them. What does it mean to explain something in science? Explanation is more than summarizing the data that have been collected. Explanations tell why phenomena occur. They involve a leap of imagination. Scientists explain by building and testing models of how the world works. Scientific explanations emphasize evidence and employ accepted principles. For example, different states of matter are explained by the arrangement and movement of molecules. The best explanations are the simplest and take into account the most evidence. The central role of explanation in science should be part of the classroom activities. Exercise 8. René Descartes is the French philosopher who wrote the famous line, "I think, therefore I am." Fortunately for psychology, this was not his only contribution. In Descartes' time, many people assumed that human behavior was governed entirely by free will or reason. Descartes disputed this notion and proposed a dualistic model of human nature. On the one hand, he claimed, we have a body that functions like a machine and produces automatic, involuntary behaviors in response to external stimulation, such as coughing in response to dust. On the other hand, we have a mind that has free will and produces behaviors that we regard as voluntary, such as choosing what to eat for dinner. Thus, Descartes' notion of mind-body dualism proposes that some human behaviors are automatic reactions that are driven by external stimulation, while other behaviors are freely chosen and controlled by the mind.